In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus says this morning, everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. In a good year, a really great year, the stock market might increase in value by 10% in a good year. But this morning, Scripture says that what we give to Christ, rather, we receive back 100-fold. That's not 10%, right? Do the math. That's 10,000%. And we will inherit eternal life. Eternal life is a return of infinity percent. This is ironclad counsel, straight from the mouth of God. But what do we do with this advice? Sadly, we don't switch brokers. Well, Jesus doesn't have an MBA from Harvard, so really, I'm going to have to park my investments with someone else. The Son of God gives us a treasure map to untold riches. We politely say, well, that's nice, and we walk away. We walk away, we call a real advisor, one that deals with the sort of currency that we really care about. But today is the Sunday of All Saints. The gift of the Holy Spirit brings the possibility of human holiness. On this day, we are reminded that God isn't really offering us a better deal. Don't read this too literally. There's no transaction here in the gospel this morning. Christ's talk of a 100-fold return is hyperbole that works through exaggeration to dynamite the whole earthly way of measuring value. Just get rid of it, is what Christ is saying. This passage is not a bribe. This is divine satire. Prophetic mockery intended to bring down the Tower of Babel that we have rebuilt using stones of wealth and power and selfish concerns. Christ isn't offering us better rewards. He's reminding us that value does not even exist apart from God's love and apart from the kingdom that He prepares for us. On this day, we are reminded to care about the only currency that matters to God, the currency of love and mercy and prayer and fellowship and repentance and worship and of growing in holiness. But this is currency that we don't usually care too much about. We set our sight so much lower. The currency we value is not handed down from heaven. It's found in low places. The coin we value is dug up from dirt. Don't forget that. If you are looking for value, the world says, look down. Look down for cold stones dug from the deep. On this day, this Feast of All Saints, however, Christ and the Apostle Paul, they urge us to ignore the earthly advice that keeps us looking down. The Apostle Paul says, don't look at the markets, don't look to the interest rate, don't look to the price of gold. Look instead to, as he writes to the Hebrews, to Jesus. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking to Jesus is the thing that we celebrate this day. The saints of the church were touched by the grace of God through the work of the Holy Spirit because they had an investment strategy with unbounded yield. They looked to Jesus. They followed him, even as Christ invited them to do so. And if we are not saints, it is because we set our sights too low. We are too easily satisfied. C.S. Lewis writes that, quote, "Our desires are not too strong, our desires are too weak." He writes that we are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. He writes that we are like children who want to keep on making mud pies in a slum because we cannot possibly imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at sea. We are too easily pleased. On the Sunday of All Saints, Christ reveals that there is more to life than making mud pies. Gold might be shiny, but gold is dug from the earth. A pile of gold is but a shiny mud pie. A bowl full of diamonds is a mud pie that sparkles. Christ invites us this morning to look not down, but to look up, to set our sights much higher, to join him and the great cloud of witnesses made holy by the grace of the Holy Spirit. It is a vision. A vision is given to us this day. It is a vision that turns everything upside down. Christ proclaims that many that are first will be last, and the last will be first. Earthly bank accounts cannot finance heavenly mansions. When it comes to the kingdom, VIP entry cannot be purchased. Christ instead invites us to change our standards, to turn them upside down, to throw away earthly standards and to measure value not with cold stones, but with hearts of fire, to celebrate the green of Pentecost and not the green of treasury notes. Jesus calls us to celebrate what is first in the kingdom and not what is first on earth. Care about getting an A+ in loving one another. Care about picking up your crosses, not just picking up your paycheck. Care about growing your compassion portfolio 10% a year. Care about getting a promotion on the basis of looking out for the suffering and for the lonely. Care about earning a master's or a doctorate in mercy or in forgiveness. Care about being neighbor of the year rather than employee of the year. Care about logging more time in prayer than you do about time on the treadmill or time on social media. More time in prayer than time spent gossiping. More time talking to God about other people rather than talking to other people about other people. Care more about being the church than about going to church. Care more about becoming a saint than about praying to the saints for help. Well done, good and faithful servant. What if we cared more about hearing our Lord say that to us than we do about hearing words of praise from our employers or our doctors or our friends or our critics? What if God gave you a gadget that keeps you off of the internet until you have spent at least an hour praying, reading the Bible, encouraging a friend who's having a really tough time? Would you gratefully receive such a gift from God? Or do you know of better ways to invest your time? What if we joined Facebook for the sole reason of inviting our enemies to become our friends? We love our families and we love our friends. What if we were all serious about loving Jesus even more? We love our blessings. What if we also give thanks to God for the crosses that we bear? What if we cared more about putting others first than about achieving first place ourselves? What if we wanted others to get that blue ribbon or the promotion or the miracle before we do? What if we cared more about corporate boardroom behavior than about the neighbor's bedroom behavior? What if they gave gold medals and Nobel Prizes and MacArthur Fellowships for humility and meekness and joy? What if we said, "This is my body broken for you," instead of, "This is my body, I'll do what I want"? What if right now today we simply choose to believe the Son of God, to trust His promises, to stop making mud pies in a slum, and to sail this nave onto the holiday at sea which Christ promises? I have a very simple suggestion for turning this vision into a reality. Many of you met Father John Hopko. He was the priest from Terryville, Connecticut, who was here last year overseeing the big consecration service for our new altar table. Father John recently related a story that I really like about his grandfather. Not Father Alexander Schmemann, that's one of his grandfathers, but his other grandfather, Father Nicholas Baer, also a priest. Apparently, his grandfather, Father Nicholas, ended most every conversation at church, every discussion and planning session, and certainly every parish disagreement with a single question. Father Nicholas would listen to you and then say to you, "Okay, but to what end? To what end?" A very simple question. And the single end of any value, of course, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the point of Father Nicholas's question. You and I, we each spend countless hours trying to win the award or win the raise or win the promotion. Okay, but to what end? We spend more time looking at our investments than looking at Scripture. But to what end? As a parish, we spend a lot of time on budgets and buildings and projects. But what is the end at which we aim? Is the goal to keep the walls up and suitably attractive for at least a few more decades? Or is the goal to offer the power of love and the power of beauty, God's love and God's beauty, to the people who need it? Are we serving the parish? Or is the parish serving others? And that second one is so much more important. The parish doesn't need to be served. The parish needs to serve. And creating a servant parish is the only end worth aiming for. Amen.